Inside, we all know that the slightest sin separates us from the white-hot purity of God, and we all commit sin. Satan the accuser points to us as Christians to say, "Look at you. You sinned again. You have no right to stand before a holy God. Give up. There's no hope you'll ever see heaven." But there is one way to stop his foul mouth cold. Today, you'll learn what it is. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his series on The Invisible War, taken from the book of Ephesians. Turn to chapter 6 as Dr. Lutzer comes now to speak to us about the breastplate of righteousness.
I'm convinced that oftentimes we see the Christian life as a playground rather than a battleground. And it is a battleground, and you are in that battle whether you like it or not. You don't have to sign up. The battle has come to you. The Bible says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And by the way, that's true whether you're here today as a believer or not. As a matter of fact, the devil actually blinds the minds of the unsaved, the Bible says, lest they should believe the gospel. And Jesus said that when the word is preached, it is Satan that comes and snatches it out of people's minds so that they don't believe. So we're all in the battle. But if you're here today as a Christian, I want to remind you of what Satan's strategy is. It is very clear. He wants to make sin attractive to us, and then what he wants us to do in the process of sinning, and of course it happens, is to break our fellowship with God. If there's anything that he detests, is people who walk with God. Maybe you're here today as a Christian and you're backslidden. You are not in fellowship with God. If so, Satan has won a victory. He's won what it's all about for him, cutting us off from fellowship with the Almighty. You remember that story? I think it was a legend, of course, that Helen, Queen Helen, was captured by the people of Troy. And the Greeks tried to overcome Troy for about 10 years, and they couldn't do that. They couldn't capture the city. So they came up with a very ingenious plan. The plan was to take a wooden horse. And in that big wooden horse, they had a number of soldiers, but they took the horse and they put it outside the city and said to the people of the city, "This is our gift to you." And the people of Troy fell for the trap, and they brought the horse in. And then when they were having a party in the city, you know the rest of the story. The soldiers came out of the horse, and they ran to the gates, and they opened the gates where soldiers were waiting. And so the enemy within joined with the enemy without, and Troy was captured. You and I have two enemies. There is the enemy within, that is the heart, that is what we call the flesh. Jesus said that out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, thefts, covetousness. All the different sins of the world exist in seed form within our hearts. That's the enemy within. But there's also an enemy without, and that is Satan. And what he wants the enemy within to do is to open the gate so that he can come in and be in cahoots with the enemy that is within. And of course, in extreme cases, this actually results in satanic invasion or possession. I think, for example, of Judas in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John. It says that Judas decided to betray Christ. He's there in the upper room. And then Jesus said, "One of you shall betray me." And you remember it says, and Judas left, and Satan entered into him. Wow. Satan wasn't in Judas yet in the upper room. It is when he left. He had made the decision that he was going to betray Christ. The enemy within opened the gates to the enemy without, and the enemy without came in. And Judas goes down in history as having done that terrible, terrible deed of betraying the only one who could save him from his sins. That's our struggle too. It is to so understand the nature of the battle that we remember that it says in Ephesians chapter 6, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, and many skirmishes that we have emotionally, spiritually, and even conflict with one another oftentimes is agitated, inspired, and what shall we say, brought about by the temptations of the devil. And then it says, stand therefore. In the last message, we talked about the belt of truth. And today we come to the breastplate of righteousness, But rather than turn to Ephesians chapter 6, I'd like you to turn to the book of Romans, because if we want to understand what the breastplate of righteousness is, if we want to understand how we can apply it, so that we can leave here today with truth that will transform us, not only in the next week, but forever. Some of the truths that I will share with you today about the righteousness of God are truths that I apply practically every single day. And we're going to see how we can do that. In Romans chapter 10, and we'll begin there, though my main text will be in Romans chapter 3, but in chapter 10, the Apostle Paul distinguishes two kinds of righteousness. Actually, he does this throughout the book. But I chose chapter 10, verse 3, for being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God and seeking to establish their own. He's talking about the people of Israel, the Jews of his day, trying to establish their own righteousness. They did not submit themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Notice the contrast between their own righteousness and God's righteousness. And that's where I begin today in this message. I talk about human righteousness. Human righteousness is the decision to be religious. It's the decision to do whatever your religion dictates should be done to meet the requirements, and so you become disciplined and you do everything within your power to meet the obligations. You attend temple, you go to church, if you're told that these are the rules, you obey the rules, you worship according to the way in which your particular tradition tells you you should, and that would be true in any religion of the world, and that kind of righteousness does not attain the righteousness of God. It's not the righteousness against which we can stand against the fiery darts of the wicked. And the reason is because all human righteousness is tainted. It's all tainted. You see, you and I, we are generous, but we hope that we'll be recognized. We do things with mixed motives. We do things and we think that we are doing a wonderful thing, but actually there's always that sense of doing it for others and doing it to be recognized. I've told you before, but it fits here. A time when I was driving along and I saw a woman who had driven partially into the ditch, and the car was out of gas, and I drove to a gas station and I had to buy a can because they wouldn't trust me to bring it back, can that I filled with a gallon of gas, and I was pouring it into her car, and standing there in the ditch, I thought to myself, if only all the people of Moody Church could see me now. Mixed motives. It's always there. And you see, God's righteousness is not human righteousness raised to a higher power. God's righteousness is of an entirely different quality. That's why we like to emphasize that if you're going to stand on the basis of your own record in God's presence, you will be blown away and you will be rejected, because human righteousness does not attain to the righteousness of God. And as Christians, we can also use human righteousness to fight against the devil, and it does not work. This is the way we do it. Satan comes to us. And what he does is he loves to accuse. He loves to tell us and remind us of our past, all right? So he comes and reminds us, says, so you're a Christian. Look at what you've just done. As a matter of fact, if you think that God still loves you and cares about you, how could you possibly? Look at what you've done. God is so mad at you, you might as well walk away from him. That's what Satan says, okay? What do we say if we're thinking in terms of human righteousness? We say, wait a moment, I'm not that bad. I attended church. I memorized verses when I was in Sunday school. Most of the time, I'm honest. Look at all of the good things that I do. On balance, I'm pretty good. Don't make me look that bad. And if you fight the devil that way, he has you for lunch and for a snack later. He loves it because human righteousness cannot withstand the fiery darts of the wicked one. Human righteousness will never buy us any forgiveness of God. It will not buy the protection that God needs to give us. Human righteousness is weak and the wrong kind. Oh, it's good to do these things. It's good to do these things. But it will never give you status with God. I've used the illustration before, but I love it. If you were to add 1 million bananas, you would never get an orange. Take all the human righteousness that has ever been performed, gather it all together in one bundle, and it does not attain to a scintillica of the righteousness of God. There are millions of people in church today who have established their own righteousness and think that they are fine, and they know nothing of the righteousness of God. Well, my friend, you certainly have to tune in next time to hear about the righteousness of God and how it can be applied in our spiritual warfare. And you will discover that this message about the righteousness of God is one which I try to apply every single day of my life. Once you understand the righteousness of God, what a contrast to our human righteousness. I'm so glad that you have joined us today on Running to Win. And at the end of this broadcast, you're going to be given information as to how these messages can be yours. I want you to have them. I want you to be able to play them again and again and to share them with your friends, because we are involved in spiritual warfare. Satan is going about seeking whom he may devour. He wants you and he wants me. He wants us to be spiritual casualties along the journey of life. Well, let's win. Some of you are struggling because of spiritual warfare within your marriage, within your family. Some of you are experiencing it in the lives of others, in the lives of relatives, or even among people in your church. You know that Satan is active. So the question is, how do we identify him? How do we use truth against him? How do we stand even when the ground beneath us appears to be slippery? So I'll see you next time. Stay tuned. Pray for us. Support us. God bless you.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer, introducing his message on the Breastplate of Righteousness, the third of seven in his series on the Invisible War. Tomorrow, more on why God's righteousness is something we can never attain on our own. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Our series on the Invisible War can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about the Invisible War. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next Running to Win.